There's a lot on the line tonight at the GOP debate in Greenville, South Carolina. Hundreds of journalists will also have to perform. Reporters will be chasing comments for their stories. TV producers will be grabbing campaign staffers to throw on the air and fill time. As NPR media correspondent David Falkenfleck found at last week's debate in New Hampshire, it all makes for quite a scene.
You have people holding selfie sticks and announcing themselves in front of the Google Trends analytical charts, interactive, to be sure, listing minute-by-minute search interests of each of the candidates. And you have a growing encampment of cameramen, photographers, reporters, people wielding iPhones to gather, at some point, the spinners who will come into the room. This is John Sununu, the former senator, and surrogate for John Kasich.
The media sort of is... loved writing about Donald Trump. You adore Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, he lost in Iowa.
What Sununu was doing there, trying to make his guy sound like the night's clear winner, that's what spin sounds like. Donald Trump, of course, crushed it in New Hampshire. When the votes came in a few days later, John Kasich was elevated by running a distant second. We were in the gorgeously carpeted hockey rink at St. Anselm's College in Manchester. The space had been literally rechristened the Media Filing Center and Spin Room.
It's called the Spin Room for a reason.
That's former CBS News anchor Bob Schieffer, now a political analyst for the network.
I mean, you're never going to find out any revealing information. I mean, I'm waiting for the day when a candidate comes in here and says, you know, I really didn't do very well tonight, but I'm not going to hold my breath until I hear that.
By its very definition, spin implies the manipulation of fact, the clouding of truth. Spin, therefore, technically should be the reporter's enemy. Yet, suited broadcast correspondents stood on risers at one edge, slightly above the floor, for live shots with spinners. Print reporters milled about in fleeces. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times made an affirmative case for showing up in the spin room.
You can read body language of advisors. Sometimes somebody will actually go quite off message when they're not supposed to.
And it's one-stop shopping, Haberman said.
So if you're working on other stories, you can grab people. That's what I tend to find this most useful for. But I do get something out of watching people's level of confidence afterwards.
Speaking of confidence, did someone mention that Donald Trump usually stops by?
Mr. Trump,
you'll have to make a decision.
I'm with Laura Ingraham.
Mr. Trump.
Trump likes to do his own spin.
She's so great. Where's Tucker?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Hey, Mr. Trump. Nice to see you. That was so intense out there. What did you think?
Tucker Carlson is the mirthful founder of the Daily Caller site and a Fox News personality. He had just days earlier disclosed Trump's vulgar taunt after Carlson had lightly mocked Trump's hair. Fame courts fame in the spin room. For the political press corps, the debate spin rooms are like a weekly college reunion. Otherwise...
I find very little utility about the spin room, and have for years.
Dan Balls has covered politics for the Washington Post for decades. He said campaigns' efforts to shape perceptions of the debates are no longer effective. By 2012, he said, viewers and analysts set their own conventional wisdom already on Twitter.
There was nothing that anybody could say in the spin room that could change a conclusion that had already congealed. It was a reminder to me that we live now in an instantaneous world, and spinning is an after-the-fact exercise.
With the immediate demands of the web, articles about the debate are written, sent, and often even posted before spinners enter the brightly lit room to make their case. David Falkenflik, NPR News.